Absalom's unofficial fifth sector is called the Armada. And it's not actually part of Absalom Station at all. It's actually all of the ships that encompass being with a major trade hub. This is a vast, always shifting swarm of ships that are just ever present around Absalom Station because of how important it is as a trade hub and destination. Not to mention, it's just easy to get to in the galaxy. Some of these ships will come in and actually dock with Absalom Station, while others will never actually dock. While one reason that some of these ships may want to never actually dock at Absalom Station is because of saving money on the docking fees, because that's expensive, another reason is if you never actually dock, you're not really subject to some of the taxes that go along with being in Absalom Station. Many of these crews will find goods and services from other ships in the area and just buy directly from them. And some of these ships, they will just dock together, and they never actually go through Absalom security, which is great if you're doing illegal things. Some of these ships are not just passerbys. Many will come to the station, do their business, and leave. The rest of the ships, they will stay in permanent orbit or a permanent holding pattern around the station. They will never actually leave. And they will never actually dock with the station, although some crews may take a lifeboat for day trips or the odd occasional visit to the station. Some of these conglomerates of ships that just hold together, they are permanent fixtures to the space around the station. Some have gone so far as to be rather infamous. The government of Absalom is content to have these ships stay in orbit permanently, never actually landing, as long as they are not causing trouble. Because the second you make waves, that's when the stewards start to show up and they'll put that down. As long as all of these ships are not causing problems for Absalom Station and its visitors, then they are fine to just let things be. The other additional bonus that comes to some of these citizens by allowing these ships to just remain in orbit and never actually land at the station or never actually dock at the station, this keeps many of the criminals, the ne'er-do-wells, your black market dealers, just those really not nice people that you don't want integrating with your society, this keeps them separated. And everybody's happy with that. One of the more semi-permanent fixtures is the Iomide ship Valor's Heart. This giant carrier serves as a temple, but also a warship, and because it's so large, it actually trains many of the recruits in the Church of Iomide. And it's not just for show. This is a fully functional war vessel, and it has defended Absalom Station on more than one occasion. Valor's Heart was built by Inheritor Works. Now, Inheritor Works is a subsidiary of Sanjeval Space Flight Systems. Inheritor Works builds ships for the Iomidean fleet basically exclusively. There is no one else that they contract to. And they all headquarters at Absalom Station. This is where their meeting point or their garrison point is for all the ships. These ships represent several things to the Iomidians. Iomidians? To the people who serve Iomide. They are warships, military vessels. They are churches. They have stained glass windows. They are armored stained glass windows, but they are stained glass nonetheless. Some of the inside accoutrements are very reminiscent of a very posh church. You'll have white marble, some gold inlays. Contractors and anybody who's coming in to work on any of these Iomidean fleets or these ships are screened very, very carefully. And it's only these contractors that get special permissions to actually go into the ships, because nobody else is allowed to unless you're part of the military or serving the clergy. So if you are somebody who is a little nosy and wants to get a spy in, if you do this, this gives you the rare opportunity to see inside. Sanjeval Space Flight Systems already emerged from the gap as a leader in the aerospace or the space flight technologies on Akaton. Sanjeval made their piles and piles of money on Therasteron, which was used as the main fuel source for space engines before drift travel was a thing. The Therasteron boom made Sanjeval a household name. Now, when drift travel became a thing and the Therasteron industry collapsed, because of the gobs and gobs of money that Sanjeval made, they were able to weather the storm. However, many other companies were not as lucky. Or fortunate. It was in this time frame, the bust period for Thastoron, that Sanjival signed an exclusive deal with Iomedae, the Church of Iomedae, not Iomedae herself. Sanjival had started producing their own spaceship frames, and this also helped them to weather this storm. And when you get an exclusive contract from a major, major church, that helps the bottom line as well. Because of Sanjival's smart business decisions, they were also able to stay in the Thastoron game. They do control many of the actual producing mines that are still on Akaton, producing Thastoron, but their primary source of business is selling the spaceship frames for many different versions of spaceship, cargo haulers, merchant ships. Sanjival produces the vast majority of the spaceship frames that the Pact Worlds uses. Now, as I mentioned, the Inheritor Works main rally point is at Absalom Station, but Sanjival head office is located on Akaton, specifically in the Hive Market. Sanjival also produces many of the thrusters, the weapons, torpedoes that go on starships, especially for ones that they produce. Sanjival has found that doing business on Akaton is very, very difficult, being that it's politically near lawless, the weather is unstable. So Sanjival has had to rely mostly on the local Yosoki population, as well as the Ikeshti and the Hykli. Another interesting place that you can find in the Armada is King Kearney's Kabash. This is a combination Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. I'm sorry, this is a combination casino, drug den, and brothel. King Kearney's Kabash is one of those amalgamations of large starships that I mentioned. They have been permanently welded together, and every so often another one gets added to the list, especially if you lose a big bet in that casino. Rumors and legend have it that the king keeps heads on a pike, specifically in his chambers alone, for those who make just ridiculously large bets and can't pay for them. Now, as a punishment, these heads are not necessarily dead, but the rumor goes that they are kept alive by some form of alien technology. Kearney is a dwarf, and he is matched both in ugliness on his inside as well as his outside. He also has special rooms, shielded tables, if you will, for more private dealings. Some of the council or the government of Absalom have been known to visit these tables as well as his pleasure pits. Something to say about his pleasure pits, and this is wholly horrifying, or maybe it's your thing, I don't know. They are synthetic flesh walls, so it's like literally a pit with a fleshy wall of, I'm going to assume, grossness. I don't think I would ever want to see one of these places. The Simar Communion is another one of those stations that floats around Absalom, and nobody really knows what's on the inside. If you are able to actually get an appointment to go in, you'll never get past the front reception desk. They really don't like outsiders, and it's very easy for them to tell who is and who isn't. The reason for this is because every member of the Simar Communion is technically the same person. For the last about 100 years or so, this station has been home to these clones, these genetic clones. And these clones, who are of the same person, they span all the age ranges, going from the infant to the elderly. They are also a human woman, by the way, if I hadn't mentioned that yet. It is also important to know that in the Pact Worlds, or just in general, cloning is very highly restricted. They don't like you to be doing this. And it's expensive. The Simar Communion has found a way to get around this red tape in the sense that whenever the sister or one of their sisters is born, they adopt them at whatever age they are and they train them in the ways of the Simar. They are also very highly sought after for their knowledge of human genetics. They know how to do implant-free biohacking, and they can be powerful psychics as well. The Simar also follow a very strict training regimen. We're talking self-defense, combat. They are very capable warriors and very, very scary. They have a near fanatic obsession with self-control. This very strong training and this obsession with self-control, they don't advertise it, but it's one of those openly known secrets. Anybody who's been around the area will know of them and know of this. They also have a bit of a reputation for being assassins and operatives, and very, very skilled ones at that. There's a common saying that happens in this area: when a Simar leaves her home, someone is about to have a very bad day. And if you want to see some character options for yourself, check this list out for you as well. Huge thank you to all of my brand new patrons, Jack Reaver, Shane Loves Games, Dave Blenner, Kyle R. My name's Nathaniel. This has been The Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.